I'm your host, John McManus.
And I'm Diana McManus.
And we are
Liberty Ghost Hunters! Coming to you live from Liberty Ghost Hunters HQ, a.k.a.
our dining room. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. And tonight around the table, we have...
Brittany.
And Jen.
Stephanie.
Yay!
Stephanie's here.
It's good to have you here tonight.
It really is.
Yes, it is.
I'm happy to have everybody here. It's always a special night when Stephanie comes because she doesn't get to come because of her crazy work schedule, but she's always here in spirit.
Yes. So.
And if we squint, we pretend Brittany's Stephanie.
Only you. But with that said, we'd like to...
Introduce
Cutie.
Cutie's here.
Cutie's been in on some Facebook Lives. And
she's the Liberty Ghost Hunters mascot, it's turning out. So if you hear some loud purring, yeah, she's on the table.
And we
can't get her off the table.
That's our
treats did not work.
ASMR.
So first we got a nice 5-star review on Apple iTunes from So75. Says you are really great and informative and love listening to you all. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate that very much.
I am thrilled to have your review.
Yes, definitely. So thank you. So if you love what we're doing, let us know. Go over to Apple iTunes and leave us a review. Now time to shout outs. For our Facebook and Instagram pages, we have Mike Van Dace. I'm sorry if I butcher your name. Shannon Fetchko, Trash Rats, Allie Fran 97, Moy Waiten, Lincoln Hawk 101, Megan Whelan, Lucio Nieto, Caitlin, and Tom Smith. Thank you all for following us and liking our podcast. So tonight's topic. Tonight's topic I've personally had some experience with, and that is the topic of shadow people. Everybody's kind of looking at me like, what?
Shadow people
in the shadows.
It's a creepy topic.
It's a creepy topic, yes, very much so. It affects people differently, and there's multiple types that are reported. There's different things medically that scientists say cause it. But I'm not sure if I believe all the hype.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know too much about shadow people other than they exist.
Okay, so we'll start with basically the basics of what shadow people are. They're basically what you would think a person is. Usually, it's a male figure in the form of a shadow. There's no defining features of it. It's just like the outline of what you would think of a shadow of a person that you would see on the ground if it was a sunny day or something like that. Except it moves, it stands upright, it can open doors, it can go through walls.
There's suck energy? Because I've heard that before.
Well, it depends. See, that's where it gets a little sketchy. There's also what they talk about is two different types. You have the one plain one, which is just like a shadow. But then people have reported seeing shadow people with like a fedora or one that had glowing eyes.
That so, almost jumps in like an
wait,
alien.
But if it has glowing eyes, does that make it a shadow?
Everything is a shadow except for the glowing
but
eyes.
But can shadows have glowing eyes?
Well, we're talking about shadow people, not quite
but
shadows.
But shadow people, like they're shadows, so can they have glowing eyes?
Obviously they do.
I think the biggest misconception is they're always called shadow people because of the darkness of the appearance, but they're not actually shadows, like, thrown from other objects.
Mm-hmm. They're a dark, blacker than dark, apparition, for lack of a better word.
Or entity,
depending on how you're looking at it. That could move through things, can move things. So, for instance, basically it's a... As people report, it's basically a living shadow. It could move. It has some sort of consciousness to it. So it's intelligent. Fedora or not, it doesn't matter.
Fancy shadow people.
I hope the ones I encounter have fedoras.
It's like if you're going to meet a shadow person, I demand a dress code.
No, my question is, Could a shadow person be actually someone astral projecting, and it's their kind of like their soul you're seeing, almost like their metaphysical body?
I was always under the impression that it was a negative energy. Like it wasn't a real entity. It was negative energy that manifested into a...
Okay. Man, I hope my soul manifests into one with a fedora, if that's the case.
Only you. So, in seriousness here, though, the reports go as this, that all looks aside, they can be negative. They can... Some, especially the ones with the fedoras and the glowing eyes... I know it's ridiculous, but that's what people report seeing. Is they report seeing this stuff, and they believe it to be real to them, and it affects them. Those type tend to be more of the malevolent type. They are aggressive. Aggressive can feel like people have woken up, witnessed them sitting on their chests, holding them down in their beds.
These are quite often the ones that are associated with sleep paralysis, right?
We'll get into that in a little bit later. So then they also tend to be more physical with the person that's witnessing whatever it is. Now, the second type, without the hat or the glowing eyes, tends to be more of the one that stands in the doorway and just sits there and watches you. Or stands in a corner and just sits there motionless.
A stalker?
Equally as creepy. Them. That's really creepy.
Yeah, I think that's creepier than one that does stuff. Because it's like...
Now, those... There have been reports by people. With those type of shadow people, they can transform into, let's say, a dog or a cat and just kind of disappear out and just... If something or someone comes into the room and, I guess, would say startled them, they would either just disappear outright or they would turn into a different, like, animal or dog or whatever, shadow of that, and then just leave the area and just... out and out disappear.
So do you think it's a possibility that the ghost cat that we see in our house, and I have been seeing since I moved in 20 years ago, and even before you lived here, John, and my mother has seen it numerous times, could be a shadow person, and then when we actually see it, it takes the form of a cat?
No, that you would actually see, according to all the research that's out there, you would actually see the form of the person, and then when startled or it becomes aware that you know it's there, it just disappears or changes to get away.
Okay.
Like where the cat you and I see is more, it's not a shadow, it's translucent. It's kind of like a clear cat. You can see through it.
It's like a residual haunt.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
I feel like the thing that confuses me probably the most about shadow people is what's the difference between, like, I always differentiate in my mind that there are shadow people and that sometimes you do see just dark figures. It's hard for me to, I guess, figure out, like, which, if they're the same thing.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. And I know where you're going with this. So to get back to this, people have reported those different types. And either way, it's creepy as hell. I mean, to see a shadow just standing there or to come at you, whatever else. It's creepy, it's scary. And it doesn't always happen. It just happens once in a while, or it happens once and never happens again. It's not a set, quote-unquote, haunting like one would have with ghosts and spirits and things like that.
Are shadow people manifested by people?
They don't know. I've never personally studied into what groups are actually doing what with it, as far as looking into it. But I know that shadow people have been around a very long time. To ancient times. We're talking going back to BC times. There's reports Native Americans have seen them, different types of Indian tribes elsewhere across the globe have reported seeing them, having dealings with them in one way or another. So nobody really knows what they are. You really can't study it. You can try to quantify it, but it's not something we can research like we do when we do an investigation. When we set up our cameras, our digital voice recorders, we can go and gather evidence of what's happening. With the shadow people, you don't. It's all firsthand knowledge of what someone experienced.
Has it ever been caught on film?
Yes. There have been pictures and things taken. I know there's one website. I'll pull it up here right now. That they have... There's multiple websites out here. I mean, they even did a movie back in 2013 about them. But they have pictures of just shadows and things here. There's one here on this website I'm looking at. And you actually see a shadowy person moving, which is kind of creepy as heck. And this person who runs this website gets stories from actual first-hand accounts.
Did you say what pictures. The website was?
No. No, I'm not going to at this point in time. I really can't. But you can Google it. There's many websites that are out there, images and things like that, where you look at this stuff, and it's just like, ye.
So what experience have you had personally with shadow people, John?
Now this is your typical, and I'm going to turn this so you guys can see this. I'll move the box. Is that.
And what we're looking at is basically a shadow person. And it doesn't have, like, glowing eyes. It's like,
looks like a
the shadow hat. Is not in the eyes. Like,
I'm disappointed that one doesn't have a fedora.
But that's, you know, you Google and you look at some of the images that they've had.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's exactly, that you know, that
so what too. It looks like is, like, a black person figure that has clothes on, and they have glowy eyes, and then we're looking at another one that looks like a dark black fog.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's different things...
So definitely go Google shadow people.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
Unless you don't want to sleep.
Yeah, unless you're going to sleep, it's going to bother you.
I mean, there's some things where, you know, some of it you can tell, you know, it's Photoshopped or
what's created for movies or
things like that. But some of this other stuff that's out there is just like, yee. It's definitely a topic that creeps a lot of people out, creeps myself out. Now, to get back into what you were saying, Jen, earlier, is from my personal experiences and from the research I've done on this topic, is you have those types, but it's not necessarily generalized to a specific location. So, like I was saying, with shadow people and what you were talking about, Jen, is the two types, but it's not necessarily bound to a person's house or location. My dealing with them and run in with them, I've had a couple of them, but they were never in my home. Sure. They were out and about. I was in my car, actually, for both times. In the state of Connecticut, driving around.
Daytime, nighttime?
Nighttime. Both times were after, we'll say, between 11:30 p.m. and 12:30 a.m. After I had gotten out of work, because I used to work second shift years ago. And it's creepy as heck when you're driving along and there's street lights and things like that. And you see a shadow off to your left. You know, it looks like a bush is in the way the street light is. It's a bush on the ground and it's projecting a little bit of a shadow. And as you're approaching it, that shadow runs across the street.
I've had that happen before.
Did you, like, put on your brakes to swerve out of the way? Like, what was your reaction?
Seen that and stuff? I hit the brakes on that one and was like, what the hell am I seeing?
Was there a specific town?
Sometimes when I'm driving around, it's not so much across the street as it is, like, I just see something, like a shadow just, like, extend and go somewhere.
I sometimes feel like, you ever drive down the road and you think you saw, like, a shadowy figure that's, like, standing there, you're like, oh, it must be a mailbox or something, and then you look again and it disappears.
Totally off topic, but me and Jen were leaving here one night, a month ago,
lady story?
And we're driving by, and there's this lady in a night. It had to be like midnight, and there's this lady in her nightgown. There's nobody else out, and she's standing in like the middle of a side street, and she's just kind of standing there staring at our car, and then she just walks off up the street into her house. It was the creepiest thing, but totally off topic.
So, you know, the thing with shadow people, to get back to the topic, The thing with shadow people is you will not see them viewing them straight on. It's usually in your peripheral vision that you see them. So the minute you look at them straight on, they kind of fade away. But if you're looking at the sign, you'll usually catch them. Which is what caused me the second time that I had this. But this one, I will not go on that road anymore. Ever. Daytime or night. There were multiple of them. I'm driving this road, and it wasn't late. It was probably about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I was the only one on the road, no streetlights, because this is northern Connecticut, kind of more rural area.
Yeah, because that stuff don't happen in West Haven.
Oh, I'm sure it happens in West Haven. We just don't see it or hear about it. But driving down this road, I could just see things moving on both sides of the road. And I'm looking, and I'm just kind of like side glancing because I'm paying attention. I'm getting into this windy area, so I really have to focus on. And I see shadows moving through the trees on both sides of me. But it's not one shadow on each side. It is multiple shadows on one side, and then I could see them moving on the other side, and then see a couple go across the road from right to left, and a couple from left to right.
That's scary.
I just gunned it. As fast as I could go through there, I wasn't looking back. I got ahead of them and just kept going. Since that point in time, I have, and that was 8-9 years ago, I haven't set foot on that road, nor will I ever.
Later on, John will tell us where the road is, so we don't go.
Yes. I have no problem with
that. I would like GPS coordinates so I can say
no, I can't give you coordinates, but I can let you know where it is.
Please and
but,
thank you.
But it just...
I'd want to drive down it at least once. Creeped, I know that's weird.
I know, I feel like... I feel like, Brittany, we need to take a little ride.
Like, you guys do know, like, I have a 30-minute drive home, right?
What is that going
to
do?
No, that means that we're freaking her out.
Oh, that's right, because we're
and she
like...
kind of lives in a rural area.
She does.
Area.
She, has to go down this, like, axe murder road.
Diana, I'm staying here.
Okay.
Guess what I can't even say the name of the road, but...
Anybody's welcome to stay. Road.
We all just sleep here until
that's
the sunlight
fine.
Comes up.
You know what? You could stay, unless you
for anyone who doesn't know, when we're recording this, there was, like, this... big, huge storm that just happened. There's tons of trees down and people lost power.
Yep.
What was it called? A microburst.
Microburst.
Yep. We have power. It's wonderful. It's great. And
a lot of our town does not, including my parents.
Yep. So we kind of lucked out to be able to do this podcast tonight. So, but yeah, shadow people, it's a touchy, creepy subject. It freaks people out. Now, here's some of the background, what some people think it might be. There's a scientific thought process, and some of it can obviously be explained away, and that is sleep paralysis, as you touched on earlier. Sleep paralysis has the same things that a lot of these people report, where you're kind of in between the sleep and dream state, where your body shuts itself down so you don't really move. Unless me, I flip and flop like a fish when I sleep, but that's not here or there.
I can attest to that.
Yes, you can. But your body shuts itself down so you don't move. So when you're going through a dream, you don't act it out and smack the person that's lying next to you, or you don't injure yourself.
Can you imagine?
More of rolling out of your bed and whacking your head on your nightstand. Something like that. Or slapping yourself in the face. Yes, exactly. You wake up with bruises. Where the hell do these come from? But you can't move. You feel like somebody's on your chest. And you can see that so-called shadow person is sitting on your chest. And you have trouble breathing.
Has anybody experienced that? Because I have.
I have not.
I have not because I'm a stomach sleeper. So there's no one sitting on my chest.
I've experienced sleep paralysis. But I luckily have not seen much what I... was having it, just the surroundings around me. I think I would be a lot more freaked out if I saw anything added
see,
to
now
it.
See, some people say that that's the time to see them, is when you're in that paralysis, because you're in between dream state and awake state, and you have some consciousness going in your mind to see what's around you, to process what's around you, but yet you're not fully awake, so you could see them easier. And they're usually standing off in the corner or sitting on your chest. And so some of that stuff can be ruled out because of sleep paralysis. I know there's also dream walking as well, where that not necessarily, you know, deals with shadow people, but that has led to people thinking that they had paranormal activity in their house because they were getting up and walking around and doing things. So they got freaked out by that. So to have that happen with sleep paralysis, thankfully, I never suffered from that. And I've never had that issue, thankfully.
I've suffered from it. I've never seen a shadow person. But I have suffered from it.
Now,
it's not a fun feeling.
That's why you guys get to be stomach sleepers.
Stomach sleeper. No one's sitting on your chest.
Well, they're sitting on your back, Stephanie.
You may start off as a stomach sleeper. Once you're pregnant and with a child, you cannot sleep on your stomach, and then you learn not to, and then you just end up never sleeping.
Do you ever see those beds where they, like, cut out a hole for, like, the...
Really?
The belly, like...
That's what I'm doing. Like, I cannot sleep
on my stomach. So you can still sleep on your stomach?
I'll get my X-Acto knife and cut you a nice belly pillow.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, the reason why I asked before, the difference between... Like, if there are differences between shadowy figures and shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, say, for instance, I had an experience where I was in a hotel room. And every time I closed my eyes, I saw a figure there. And I know I've spoken to Brittany about this. Like, I saw a figure. It was in the same spot. I moved my head around, made sure it wasn't light. You know, you stare at a light and
mm-hmm.
you close your eyes and you can see the light still when you close your eyes.
That
but
is,
it's like a negative.
No, this is something you would actually visually see. Yes. What you're describing is more of like your third eye picking something up of an energy source. Or best way, you know what, the best way I can describe it is the Daredevil movie years ago that they did, where the way they showed everything, like if he was out in the rain, he could pick up, because of his abilities being heightened, he was able to actually see, but he was blind because of the sound and everything else. And I think that kind of what you're describing is more of that than an actual shade, you know, shadow person per se.
Or you're picking up what they're putting into your subconscious to see.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It's a little wonky that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you consider shadow people an extraterrestrial being?
Well, see, now that's another train of thought. That they're not human, or they're not spirits. They're cloaked, or whatever you want to call them. Extraterrestrials that are observing us, a.k.a. what they call the Watchers, those who are ufologists and things like that, ancient alien theorists and things like that, get into that shadow people could be simply Watchers watching us, and they're extraterrestrial in origin. Do I buy that? I have no idea. So yes, the one train of thought is that they may be extraterrestrial.
What?
So, typically, shadow people are usually normally male. Alert to our observing of them, 6 to 7 feet. So, it's hard to understand, well, not hard to understand, but hard to imagine them being extraterrestrial, considering everybody looks at extraterrestrials as very short, you know, 3 feet, like little gray guys. You know, they're only 3 feet tall. So, having something that's 6, 7 feet tall, I don't know. I don't know if...
Well, we don't know what aliens look like.
No, we don't. I mean...
If there are extraterrestrials. We don't know. Why do we assume they're males?
Yes.
That's what the reports say. That's what people...
Is it because of height and the fedora aspect?
Hey, women wear fedoras.
No.
Maybe it's their shape.
It's the look of the shape off... You know, they're like they're wrapped in a cloak or an old... like an old cowboy's trench coat type of thing. So, no, not like that, smart ass.
That's how they know. May we add, this was not Brittany and Jen this time.
No, it was not Brittany and Jen.
But let's go back. They're males. We believe they're males because of the shape of their bodies.
The shape of the bodies, the height, and what they're wearing. They look like men. And that's what's reported. It's never a female shadow person or anything like that.
They're...
And they're not a two-dimensional being either. They're more three-dimensional. Like a normal shadow would cast, you know, from a light or anything like that. I hold my hand up to the light over the table, you see my shadow on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Where those are more three-dimensional, like they're actually living shadows. Now, another thought, or two different thoughts, is one that is demonic. But yet, they've never really done anything to really, from what I found, they've never really done anything to hurt anyone. Intimidation, yes. Sitting on their chest, yes. Scared the crap out of some poor person, yes. But physical harm, not really.
Some people believe that they're energy suckers, though. I think I remember
reading that's another that kind of ties into the whole demonic thing. The other train of thought, or the other school of thought, is that they're ancients. That they're actual beings, maybe not corporeal like us, but actual beings that are living, maybe in between planes or something like that, but have been here a lot longer than man has. And they call themselves the ancients.
I have a question about that, though. So if they wear, like, trench coats and cloaks and fedoras,
mm-hmm.
did they pick up the fashion along the way? Or
I don't know, Smarty.
But the thing is, the people who believe the ancient thing may not subscribe to the fedora.
That's true. Maybe they don't.
Yeah, they don't see
right.
that.
True.
I have a feeling that because shadow people is such a broad term,
mm-hmm.
that some of the folklore of shadow people gets mixed in from other things.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like maybe there are some demonic presence. Like, we've heard of demonic presence having, like, a smoky, dark
right.
look
know,
to
when
it.
You're, when you're going down the rabbit hole of shadow people, there are so many different branches that, like, it, which is exactly what you're seeing. They talk about the demonics and things like that, of how we always think of them to be dark entities, dark forms, and things like that. And then people say, oh, you know, extraterrestrials and things like that, and or they're, you know, in between, whatever you want to call them. And then you have the other...
In between planes?
Thank you. I'm having a duh moment for a second. In between planes. And then you have the other ones who think that they're ancients, that they've their own type of being that have been here. And then just living shadows that scare the crap out of people. And then you have the scientific community coming in and saying, well, no, they're just night terrors. Hmm. So, like you said, Jen, it's all taking everything and kind of putting it into one big pot and saying, okay, this is what shadow people are, but we really don't know.
My experience with night terrors is normally a night terror isn't when you're stuck in bed and can't move. I have my children, when they get fevers, get night terrors, and they're out of bed. They're like semi-conscious. Like they don't know what's going on. They don't remember anything that happened, but, like, I find them, like, especially when they have a fever, they get a night terror, they're up, they're like, Mom, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, you're okay, you know, just go to bed. They're actually out of bed, walking around, like, every day with their eyes open, but really they're sleeping.
Right.
And you just kind of have to guide them back to bed.
Fever dreams are a pretty substantial thing.
I have a pretty funny story about night terrors. When my sister was really young, she was, like, sleepwalking. It was, like, the weirdest thing. But she ran. The whole house was dark. And my grandma and grandpa weren't living, and the apartment was empty at the time. And she went downstairs in the dark, didn't turn any lights, was running around the whole living room, kitchen, came back upstairs, went into that little apartment, ran back up the stairs, ran up to me, sat on my bed, and started screaming that somebody was after her, that she was trying to get away from somebody, and that we had to help her. She looks at the door, there's nobody in the doorway, starts screaming, runs out of the room again, back downstairs, through the kitchen, then goes right into her bed and falls asleep.
And doesn't remember, right?
And doesn't remember. And it was the creepiest thing that ever happened. I was like, and we were young too. And I was like, Mom!
But night ter- that's how I've experienced night terrors with my children. It always happens when they have a fever or are very sick. And they just, something goes on and they get the terror. It's a scary thing to see someone go through that.
It is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. So imagine having all that happen and then you're seeing some sort of entity that you can't explain. It's 6-7 feet tall. Just lingering, watching you, or moving and watching.
I wouldn't be able to sleep in that room.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think I'd be
able to sleep. But I definitely want to drive down that road.
No, ooh, no, 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 no. That is crazy. So, we are going to take a break here, and then we will come back with our second topic of the evening. And we're back. The second topic for tonight, we're going to keep it creepy like the first topic. This topic are black-eyed children.
Dun, dun, dun.
The other mother.
What? She's referencing Coraline.
Now, black-eyed children, I've never personally had an encounter, and I don't think I ever want to have one.
Thank God.
I don't think I want to wish that on anyone. Black-eyed children started popping up in the 90s, reports of that all over the place, of children with what you think, what's said is black eyes. Totally solid black eyes. And they are dressed oftentimes in, I don't want to say ancient, but old clothing.
Like more Amish style?
Amish or Mennonite clothing, Old West type of clothing, stuff like that.
Slightly out of date.
A lot out of date. And often they're kids ranging between 6 years old and 16 years old.
We'll also say that not just the color of the eye is black, the whole part that the white, the sclera of the eye is all black. So it's not like they're just,
totally not the pupil, but the
dilated
whole
pupil.
Yeah, don't freak out if you see some kid with some dark irises that match their pupils and be like, oh my God, it's a black eyed kid. No. And it's just really, it's just some poor kid.
It's got to be the entire eye that's black. And they're just, nobody understands them. They come and go, according to reports. There's relatively little action, and it can happen anywhere. There's reports where they've come up to people in cars. They've come up to people's apartments, people's houses, people on streets. And it's just creepy and weird at the same time. It's best I can describe it.
They knock on the door?
Sometimes, yes.
So, some reports say that they will come to the door. There'll be someone knocking on their door at like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. They'll go to the front door, and there's these two children, or a child, that is dressed in a clothing style that is way out of date. So, we'll say 1800s, prairie type of thing, or early 1900s. So, they're very dressed out of time. They don't use modern language like we use it now. They'll often ask to come in. They will never cross someone's threshold unless they're invited in.
And they're supposed to have very monotone voices.
Extremely monotone. Very pale looking as well for their skin tone. And it's just, it's creepy. Like we were talking before we came back, Jen was talking about wanting to use not a telephone, but a...
One story I'd heard was like something out of date, like a telegraph or some kind of technology that hasn't been used in a while. One popular theory that some people have, instead of thinking it's completely super, like, instead of being like ghosty, it could be more extraterrestrial, as if they were getting... You know that theory that there's always, like, we're using TVs and radios and everything, and those radio waves go out into space?
Right.
Hey, they mentioned that in Transformers.
Yeah. So the theory is that some of that information, when they had gotten it, it's out of date.
Well, you think of Voyager satellite that went out.
Mm-hmm.
The golden record they put on that was mathematical equations, the English language, Chinese, and a couple other ones, as well as describing man and where we are in the universe. So yeah, between the radio waves, and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a possibility considering how long it would take for a radio wave to get out to a location that actually would have inhabitants living on it, out of our solar system.
Yeah. So some of the theory is that if it was an extraterrestrial being, that they were using information to get children that, obviously they choose children because people want to help children that are by themselves, more likely to let them into some places, especially they if they're asking less for help.
Threatening often.
But yes. What happens when they let them in?
Black eyes. Yeah, that's what I think.
That's what my concern
they,
is.
Are they some type of omen? Are they some type of warning? Like, are they just...
I've never heard the story say too much about what they come in for, whether they come in and use the phone or what, like, they'll usually say, oh, I need to call my mom or I need to call for help or something like that. And then they kind of do their business and leave. Some people think they're there to watch. I've never heard of anything really aggressive happening, though. Like, no attacks it's very, or anything.
And that's the weird thing. There's never really been any attacks or anything taken or people
it just creeps you out.
It creeps you out because here's these little kids with completely black eyes
alone
by themselves in the dead of night, speaking monotone, being pasty, dressing in clothing that doesn't suit the period, asking to use a telegraph or something to eat or they need help or whatever. There's many people in the biggest thing that I see time and time again in looking into this is people will have this feeling of dread looking at these kids. Will have this feeling of such uneasiness and dread and that shakes them to their core.
Intense fear and anxiety.
Intense fear, anxiety. And they, and most people say it feels like, you know, it's at their soul, the level of their soul, they're feeling it. That oftentimes they just slam the door in a kid's face and walk away.
So I have a few things, some information. Like we did say earlier, you know, they commonly wear dated clothing and they don't talk in a typical manner of modern children. It seems like they always ask for something. And what they ask for always seems to be something involving in a close quarters with the person they're asking from. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, hey, can I have $10 to go put gas in my mom's car? It's like,
can I come in the car?
Yeah, can I come in the car? There's, as far as I know, like you said, there's no stories of what happens when you let someone into your vehicle or your home.
No.
It's just, again, the feelings. But I did find during research that one of the earliest sightings was in 1996. So, you know, some people even say they're vampires.
Some actually have, it's funny you mentioned that, the vampires.
Energy vampires.
Well, energy vampires, extraterrestrials, of course, they throw demonic in there. But just all around, just creepy.
One thing I always hear about this, and I don't know why it's the one thing that sticks in my head the most about them, is that you may not have a negative experience when they're there besides the feeling, mm-hmm. but there's usually a side effect later on. They say that they usually have a radioactive or magnetic field, some kind of field around them.
Mm-hmm.
Many people have had close court, like who have let them into their homes or in their cars, have cases of suffering from radioactive poisoning.
Oh, wow.
Or cancer later on. Something that where someone was around a lot of radioactivity for long periods of time would usually suffer from. So,
yeah, that's,
if I'd see them, I wouldn't let them near me.
No, but that does kind of...
Sorry, kid.
Yeah, and they usually travel in pairs.
Yes. You know what would be weird? The thought that there's radioactivity around them. Think of other cases where we use radioactive energy, right? Like X-rays?
Yep.
Do you think that maybe if they were extraterrestrial, they were using this energy or something to kind of study us?
Maybe.
Could be.
Or they're from, if they're extraterrestrial, maybe could they have some kind of radiation on them.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
But why would they want to come in your house? That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, see, that's
like,
weird.
Why do they want you alone? Like, they have to be in close quarters. Are they an energy vampire? Are they... What are they actually getting?
Maybe all the stories we have of them getting into someone's quarters and not having much activity, what if those are the only ones that have survived?
I have no idea. Or yeah, maybe, I mean, it's a good question, but I have no idea. I hope to
never see one and never find out.
No, me neither.
No, thank you.
One's at the door, it's getting slammed in their face, and that's it.
You don't even open the door to that one.
No, you don't. You don't even.
Nowadays, you got that doorbell where you can just see who's coming.
I mean, if weird kids show up at your door and they're speaking in old English or whatever else, you don't let them in.
Offer to call the cops for them, but don't let them in.
The crazy thing is people will go back and, you know, feel bad or something after they realize, oh, I just slammed the door on a 10-year-old. Go back. They're gone. Like they were never there. Only a few seconds can happen. Turn around, go look right back out the door, and they are not there. They're gone.
One interesting characteristic is they're always, like Diana said, very monotone, very like steady speaking. Any children in a compromised situation, 9 times out of 10, they're teary-eyed or they're crying.
Oh, yeah.
So like they never act like that. So if they were really kids in distress, they're very calm.
I mean, we have two
polar
boys.
Opposite.
So if they're in distress, they are loud. They are not monotone in any way, shape, or form. They are very animated. This is the complete opposite. So it just, I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. Could it be extraterrestrial? Yeah, maybe. Could it be interdimensional beaming? I don't know. All I know is it creeps the hell out of me. And nobody has a good idea of what they are.
So this is where we're reaching out to our audience. Podcast audience. Have you ever experienced something with black-eyed children?
Or shadow people?
Have you ever encountered it? What are your stories? We'd love to hear that from you.
Yes, please. We want to know your input. What do you think? Are they extraterrestrials? Are black-eyed children demons? Shadow people demons?
I mean,
we
shadow
want to know
people
what you're thinking.
Have been caught on film, have black-eyed children.
I mean, there's been a movie of it. I think back in like 2012 or something like that, or early 2000s.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's actually captured them on
photo.
Not that
I know of.
So I mean, is it?
I mean, just the photos of black-eyed children.
It's odd that a myth
starts for TV
in
and
the
stuff
80s.
Like that.
Yeah, a lot of the myths start. Like, the other myths, like the shadow people, those are centuries old.
Right.
It's funny that the black-eyed children myth is more recent. So, it could be that they are intergalactic travelers.
Could be a hoax.
Creepypasta.
Creepypasta.
Yeah.
Creepypastas are, like, online stories. Kind of like
That's
Slender Man.
Haunted spaghetti.
No, like Slender Man. <That's what I'm laughs> Like everyone's heard of Slender Man. That's a creepypasta. There's like very, there's
well,
quite
he does
a few stories on
one. Like creepypasta.
I mean, yeah, nowadays.
You guys aren't cool enough.
Yeah.
My kids know what creepypasta
is. I'm sure they would.
Yeah.
They had to explain
but
it.
I know, like, with today's technology and things like that for making movies and things, where you can get different eye covers. So you can give yourself tiger eyes.
You can give yourself
Or you can give yourself
eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And oftentimes in shows, and like one of my shows I used to like watching years ago was Supernatural. All the demons had black eyes. But
they
were contacts.
My favorite episode is the Scarecrow episode.
So, you don't know. Nobody has pictures of them.
I wonder if they would wait for a picture.
Here, Jen, smile. Let's take a picture of a black-eyed kid.
Wow.
No, I don't think they do. Because, like I said, if somebody slams the door on them, they go back to check. Those kids are gone. No, these kids don't stick around. So, who knows?
Very interesting topics tonight.
Yes. So, please, let us know what you're thinking. Let us know your opinion. I'm on Google looking at black-eyed children, and it is a pop star that is young. We'll leave his name out of it, but they put black eyes on him and blacked him out. So he looks like a creepy black-eyed child, which is funny.
That'd be a really cool Halloween costume.
Not to come to my door.
No.
After this podcast.
None of them get
you imagine candy. Trick-or-treat and you start bolting your door and, like, closing the curtains?
Forget that, man.
It's
like, no, thank you.
No, we're good. We gave it to you.
Office. You just thank leave you. The candy outside in a bowl.
So we're going to get ready to, as our new tradition in podcasting, is leaving our audience with positive affirmations and some card readings. So Jen is shuffling up a deck of cards. Let us know what kind of deck you're working on, Jen.
We are going back to the Nature's Whispers deck.
Very nice deck.
And who is that by?
Angela Hartfield, and with the artwork by Josephine Wall.
Okay. So we're all going to take a card. Whatever thoughts come to our mind when looking at it. You remember, sometimes we don't take the card just at face value of what it says. A lot of us interpret the cards as to how we feel and what messages that we get.
Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but you guys can interpret it. Me, I give it at face value.
I think you get more than you think you get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
In the bun.
Jen, deal us some cards. Spread wrong them way. Out and we'll wrong take way.
Cards. There's no wrong ways in cards.
I'm taking this one.
Cutie, would you like to pick a card? She's not allowed. She says she's not allowed.
Alright, I'm gonna go first.
Alright.
I picked card number 49. And it is a woman, and she's basically holding like a crystal ball shape, but it's all rainbow. So it's not the earth, it's a rainbow ball. And all these rainbow colors are emitting from it. And the words on the card say, heighten your vitality. But that's not what I'm getting from this card. Images on the card are all different. But the images look of a bad past. Like tragedies in the past, suffering in the past. And then light moving forward. Like discovering new. So all of your past basically defined you. But you have made a discovery of your future, and it's going to be glorious. Who'd like to go next? Stephanie.
All right, so the card I have is number 23, You Are Worth It. It is a picture of a woman in a pink dress with flowers in her hair looking off into the distance at nighttime to a boat going away and a flower in the sky above the clouds. In front of her, there is a candelabra of lit candles. Very pretty flowers, and then a boat facing the opposite direction of the water. The message I get from this particular card is one of creating new dreams and trying to manifest them, but not necessarily making any movement towards it yet. So only just getting those materials that are needed, dreaming, making it come to life in one's head, and then not actually making a step forward towards it yet.
Interesting.
Hopefully some of these resonates with some of our listeners.
All right, I'll go with mine. It's actually kind of a cool one. I have number 21. It's called The Fresh Approach. It's a woman with wings. And she is made up of the oceans and rainbows and the land. And all in her wings have all animals and butterflies and things like that. And then in front of her, she's looking down upon the waters with the fish and things like that, and sharks and dolphins and in the land. But also is the moon and the clouds and things like that, and the oceans. And her, and what I find interesting is her hair is trees, like weeping willows, weeping cherries, where it just kind of hangs down. The crate here, and it represents Mother Earth. Being part Native American, Mother Earth is very important. It's who nourishes us and nourishes people, gives us home, gives us safety, but controls everything. Mother Nature kind of thing, but this is Mother Earth. Supports all life. And that's what I'm see with this card, is life being supported by her.
Very nice, babe.
Right. I am going to go next. I pulled number 13, which is Renewal of Peace. It is a young, almost like an infant, with fairy wings, kind of nestled in a tree, surrounded by all kinds of little woodland creatures. One reason I really love this deck is you never look at any picture the same. I see there's faces in the wood and things like that. I always feel like the longer you look at these cards, the more stuff you're going to find. I see this as a moment to get back to some of that mindset that you've had when you were a lot younger. Think about when you were a child. It was all whimsy and your imagination took over. You had a moment where you weren't paralyzed by the stresses of life and responsibility and what you think you should be doing rather than what you feel you want to do. Mm-hmm. So I really see this as trying to bring your mindset back to how you were when you were younger, so you can really see, take a moment to rest and really see what you really want to get out of life.
All right, my message is very deep and I hope I can express it verbally what I'm feeling out of the card.
Uh-oh, she's going deep on us, folks.
But what I'm getting is that everybody on this planet is different. Whether that's race, religion, sexual orientation, you could go on by different categories, but everybody's different. And there's going to be bad things that go on around us, negative things, negative events. But the most important thing is to remember that we have to be kind to each other and understand each other. And even though we're different, we're all the same. And the most important thing is to teach that to the younger generation and to children so that we don't carry on hate, we carry on love. And that's the message I'm getting from my card. And it's number 3. It's called Celebrate Differences.
Mm.
Beautiful. Brittany, since you had such an insight on yours, do you want to give an overall, or Diana or anybody want to give an overall reading?
If we can get Cutie off the cards. There we go.
Nope.
Does anyone want to give the overall reading? Me? Okay, cool. What I'm getting is that we all see the world in different perspectives and what we want out of that world or what we want out of our lives. And it's important to know that there's other people around us that want different things, not necessarily bad things, but want different things. And that everyone deserves, you know, a time of rest, a time of understanding. And I think we just all come together as like one world.
I think what's also interesting about them being all together, because I get what you're saying about everyone seeing things in different mm-hmm. lights. Also, everybody kind of wants the same thing. It's just the power of understanding everyone's differences as well.
And the biggest message I'm getting is you are worth it.
All right. Mm-hmm. Cutie, do you have anything to add to that? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. So with that, let us know what you think about tonight's topics. You can get us by email at investigators@libertyghosthunters.com, on our Facebook page, Liberty Ghost Hunters, Instagram. Let us know what you're thinking. You can leave us a review on iTunes, Anchor. And we hope to listen and hear some stuff from you. Remember, you can go to Anchor, go to the Anchor app, create an account, and you can leave us voice messages that we can use later on in our podcasts. So until next time, I'm your host, John McManus.
And I'm Diana McManus.
I'm Stephanie.
Jen.
And Brittany.
We are
Liberty Ghost Hunters!